Welcome to Season 5, bonus episode of Buzzwords, conversations about teaching and learning at SU, where we talk about working and learning, transforming and performing at Shenandoah University, and so much more than that. We'd like to thank our sponsor, SU's transformative teaching and learning team, led by Jess Photo Finish Clausen. So I am Scott King. I teach in the psych department. I've got a co-host and a producer here to introduce themselves. Co-host?
Melissa Smeltercraft, head women's basketball coach, adjunct professor, and for the first time ever, we will hear Xander's voice.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Xander Merlesmith here producing. I've put a mic on my face for the bonus episode, but right. I won't talk too much. Bye.
There he is. Coming in hot. Xander Merlesmith. Thank you to Xander for producing. That's the bonus. That's the reason it's a
bonus episode. That's the bonus episode. Xander's voice.
We will have a special guest shortly.
Our email is buzzwords@su.edu. Scott, do we have you checked the email?
I have checked it. We do not have any new emails.
We have an Instagram, SU Buzzwords. We have 62 followers now. Our music is Back to Cool by Shane Ivers at silvermansound.com. And 3.2K? 1,000 downloads from buzzwords.podbean.com. We have 18 five-star ratings on Apple, and that is up by 2 since the last time.
Spotify now as well. Thanks to Xander. We've got 2 five-star reviews on Spotify. I think last episode we learned who those reviewers were. Maybe 2 people that I'm looking at in this room. I'm not sure.
You're welcome.
Yes, indeed. So there was this other podcast on there called Buzzwords, the Med School Drinking Game. We have now passed them for episodes and listenership. I think for listenership, because we show up before they do if you type in buzzwords. But we have a new challenger to the Buzzwords throne. There's a new podcast from a student, from an undergrad at Texas A&M called Buzzwords. And it's some, like, I listened to a little bit of it just to see what we're up against. And it's a good effort. It's a good effort for a student, but ours is better. It's about organizational culture. And so she interviews, like, management consultants and a bunch of boring stuff like that. So ours is better, but new Buzzwords podcast. Keep up the good work. Maybe 2 can be called buzzwords, but just, you know, stay in your lane. Don't step over to interviewing faculty and staff from your school. So anyway, listeners, follow us, rate us, review us, Spotify and Apple. And we'll keep that top spot. Keep the throne. So our guest today for the bonus episode, Dr. Karen Abraham, Provost and Chief Academic Officer at Shenandoah University, as well as many other things over the years. I've got a bio for Karen that we'll read now. Dr. Karen Abraham, an orthopedic therapist with a special interest in women's health issues, came to Shenandoah in 2001. I do not believe that.
True. True fact.
That's like 23 years ago.
Yeah. January 2001.
Wow, your math is so fast.
I'm on it.
So good.
And it's hard to imagine because I'm only 25.
Yeah,
I feel like we're the same age cohort here. Meanwhile, I had just finished undergrad in 2001.
We're not anywhere close to the same age not. Cohort. I wish
Scott,
I was.
Scott,
I
guess, you do look older.
Yeah, that's So she came in 2001 as a faculty member in the Division of Physical Therapy. She has since then moved into academic leadership as the program director of PT. She worked in the provost office for a few years as a provost fellow and then became SU's Dean of Health Professions in 2017. In June 2023, she accepted the role of acting provost.
That was 1 year ago, Scott.
1 year ago. 24 minus 23, like exactly, almost.
It's crazy.
11 months.
Yeah. 13 months.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, 11
months. 11 months.
Sorry. It kind of blew the math on that one.
Yeah. All right, Scott.
So I would say you got Shenandoah into this provost position. But that's a good thing. Yeah. She accepted the role of acting provost 11 months ago. And after a national search, she was then selected for the role of permanent provost going forward. In her free time, Karen loves spending time with her family. doing lots of outdoor activities like running, hiking, cycling, and skiing. So welcome, Karen. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I have to give us credit on this. This season, we have upped it every single episode with the people that are filling the former role. Mm-hmm. And Karen is probably, I mean, the time you've been here, you just keep doing more and more and more and more and upping the ante. And you're the perfect summary and the perfect end to the season and the theme that we've had.
Well, great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So. It's really me and Scott did such a good job asking you to be here is what it is. Not you. It's us. Just for the record.
And by the way, I'm sitting here with two mothers. Yesterday was Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the moms
you.
In the audience here.
Thank you.
Karen, thank you.
Karen, what did you do for Mother's Day?
So we brought my daughter home from college. She finished her first year, her freshman year of college on Saturday night.
Where did she go to school?
She finished her first year at University of Tennessee.
Oh.
Go Vols, baby.
So big state school.
Yeah.
Coming from the SU background.
Yes. That's what she wanted was big.
Orange. She wanted a lot of orange.
You gotta love the orange. Let me tell you. Who knows what it is about that place that just, she walked on that camp. We have been all over. She's played travel soccer. We've been everywhere we go. We're like, okay, let's go to the campus nearby. And she's been to a lot of places. And is the moment she stepped on this campus, my husband took her and she called me and she's like, Mom, this is it. This is the place. And I'm like, what is it about? She goes, I don't know. She goes, I just love it here. And she has just had a great year, been happy. So
great.
Bringing her home was a big thing, having her back in the house. And then my mother lives here in Winchester. She's in a memory care unit.
Oh, cool.
Nearby.
Where?
So she's at the Village at Orchard Ridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we went over there and spent the afternoon with her.
Very nice.
And then my kids like wrote me nice cards, you know, they each bought me a gift.
Wow.
I know. Like, you know, it used to be like you have to buy the gift like for Father's Day or, you know, Christmas, but you know, they both bought things that I really like.
This is daughter in college.
Yeah.
Son
my
in
son
high
is,
school.
Yeah, he's 17. He's finishing up his junior year at Hanley.
I see his name in the soccer write-up.
Yeah. He's having a bit, they're having an amazing season so far. And he loves playing. So, yeah.
So with your kids, when they are talking about where to go to college, how does your Shenandoah experience affect how you talk with them about that?
Oh, that's I went to a big state school. I went to University of Maryland. That worked, you know. But I didn't, you know, you only know your own experience, right? You know. But then you come here to a smaller school and she's having a great time. And she's happy and that's all I care about. Right. Yes. She's happy. She's successful. But every once in a while, I do think like, gosh, you know, the Shenandoah environment, like it's just kind of special. It's just kind of unique. You know, she's in a lecture, you know, in her chemistry class, she's in a lecture hall with 400 students, you know, she doesn't know her professor, you know, and she got sick this semester, you know, she's typical freshman, burned the candle at both ends and, you know, got mono.
Oh.
And yeah. And so, you know, talking to your professor when they have no clue who you are, you know, like was just a different experience. You know, it was like, gosh, that reinforced it to me. And just, it's harder to just get involved and be involved in like all the, you know, and I look at all the things here. During part of the interview, I got to have lunch with all these students and, you know, and they were telling me that some are athletes and some were, you know, but they were all like involved in like 10 things, you know, and she joined a sorority, you know, but, you know, just, it's harder to get involved in like campus things.
Yeah.
I think because it's just, there's just a lot of students and it's just more competition and I don't know.
Did she ever think about coming to Shenandoah?
She did. Yeah, I think, my son, you know, he's a soccer player. He's talked to Brandon.
Yeah.
Coach Cates.
Yes. And he really likes Brandon. And, I think if it wasn't Shenandoah, I think the biggest reason is just, they just want to go
proximity to home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. we live, what, 2 miles mm-hmm. from here? You know, yeah. I mean, they just, you know, I think they, and not only did they grow up in Winchester, they grew up at Shenandoah, yeah.
right.
you know, as a working mom. I mean, your kids come, you know, when they got sick, they came to work with me. Yeah. You know, we went to football games. We go to all the things. And I feel like they just didn't, I think it didn't feel different enough,
that's
like fair. In their own experience. And I think now that I'm in this role, you know, when I was on the graduate health profession side, I was like, you'll never see me, like,
right.
you know, on campus. And, you know, I use my maiden name, so we have different last names. Like, people may not, they may not,
right.
you know, they may not instantly make the connection, like, that you're my kid. But they still, I think they just were like, you know, they just wanted their own thing, their own experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah. yeah. So, but.
Yeah, Coco, my eighth grade daughter, she wavers. Cause she used to be really into dance. And then Shenandoah, of course, like, pretty good place to go for dance.
Right.
So she was all about coming here. But now she's sort of shifted gears. She's sort of stepping back from dance, getting more into sports. And Shenandoah would still be a great place. I don't care. She can come here. Like, mm-hmm. She's going to live on campus. I don't want her living at home.
Right.
But, you know, then yeah. the tuition rebate, not,
yeah,
not a bad
yes,
thing.
Yes. You know, but yeah, as I write that check, trust me, I think about that,
yeah.
you know, but there's still hope. Ainsley is very interested in something in health professions.
For grad you know? School?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thinking maybe PA, you know, or maybe even, you know, the new master's in mental health counseling. She's majoring in neuroscience. And so there's a still chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down the road. Of course, it won't be, we'll have the same tuition rebate, but
right.
you know, but so there's still a chance that we'll get her. So.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. But they definitely, it's funny because they talk it up with their friends.
Talk up Shenandoah.
Yeah. So Brandon was actually trying to recruit a couple of Jack's friends that play on his team. And he was, I mean, I'm like, we should pay you, you know, like, though, because he knew, I mean, it's amazing. They actually pay attention to what goes on.
That's
around
great.
Here. Yeah.
He was, yeah. And I you mean, know, for all our kids, like having access to the school and the sports and the arts and the esports camp, like with
right.
my son, Sam.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that all makes an impression.
Yeah. My son did the esports several years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're in this super fortunate position, like having access to that university, and the kids, I think they do appreciate it.
Yeah.
And like Colette, now she's at this phase where her friends, you know, they're all starting high school next year. So they talk about colleges and they all think they're going to play D1, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yes.
D1 volleyball, you know, at 5'1" tall.
Right.
But you know, and Colette's able to actually speak with some knowledge about like, well, here's, you know, this is what a D3 school would have. This is what a D1 school would have. So I think she appreciates it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's cool. Yeah. Not every kid understands that. So
no,
our kids get that. Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. So
let's talk about our highs and lows from the past month. Melissa, you want to go first?
Sure. We were just talking about this before we started recording. My dad got his doctoral degree from Drew University this past weekend.
That's awesome.
Amazing. I went to Drew, and my stepsister went to Drew, ironically, before our parents were married.
Oh, funny.
Now there's three of us that have Drew degrees, which was really cool. And I think it was very special that we were all there. And even my best friend, who also has a Drew degree, she came to the graduation as well to support him. And it was just like very pro Drew. So that was amazing. And he's certainly committed to being a lifelong learner. And I'm just really proud of him and what he accomplished. And I don't think people get that. To do that, or some of our accomplishments are when we're young. I don't know. And we just take for granted that our parents
sure.
do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So it was just very cool, full circle moment related to Drew University and just seeing my dad do something so special and selfishly for, you know, just his own brain and mm-hmm. his own passion. So it was just very cool weekend. I don't know that I really have a low. I am looking forward to the next cycle here of the students leaving and us being able to breathe a little bit. It's been a crazy long year, but then at the same time, I feel like move-in day was yesterday. Yeah. I'm watching students. We were touring a recruit today, and I'm watching parents help kids get out of Parker and Racy. And I was like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a low. I just can't believe we're up to the summer cycle, and I'm looking forward to that. So no bad vibes here.
Yeah, right on. Karen, how about you?
Yeah, so I would say that I was fortunate that I was at the Board of Trustees meeting when the big $20 million gift was announced, yeah. Which was pretty awesome. You know, so that was a pretty big high that we, the university's biggest gift ever. And, you know, really helped to set us up to hopefully build this new performing arts building. Which
How
super
much
exciting.
Of a surprise was that?
For the board, it was total surprise, which was really fun.
Cool.
You know, to see the gasps, like, whoa, you know, the other vice presidents knew that it was coming.
So you all, like Tracy made the announcement to the board that we've gotten this big gift.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool. We knew like a couple of days ahead of time that it was
That's
happening.
Amazing.
But even then it's just like, what, you know,
that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. And it's performing arts, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just, a couple other things, you know, as new to this provost role, I get to sit in on like Tracy does these career contract and promotion meetings, yeah. You know, when people get career contract. That was really fun. Like just to read all their portfolios, like, and just, you know, learn about all the faculty and all the cool things they're doing. And, you know, you kind of, you know, people and you know what they teach, but then like, especially their scholarship, you know, like there's just, it's just really fun,
yeah,
you know, just to see all the breadth of all the things that people are doing and, you know, the creative things, especially, you know, the conservatory people, because, you know, manuscripts I read, but you know, when you get to listen to, you know, or watch videos of all the cool things, mm-hmm. that
they're like doing. They're like putting out albums and
yeah, and arranging music, mm-hmm. and you know, just the dance performances and direction and, you know, costumes and, I mean, just all the things.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's really cool. So
don't tell anyone, but I like being on the committee that gets to read all those portfolios.
Oh yeah.
Because you get to see all the cool stuff that people are doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was really fun. And then graduation is
coming
Saturday.
Up.
Yeah. It's kind of stressful in my office right now because my office organizes that. Yes. But you know, that's just super fun.
Props to Emily Frost.
Yes. Emily
does a great
and
job.
She just seems to be, you know, I mean, she's all chill and calm and, you know, but you know, there's just the student that came in on Friday and like hadn't ordered their cap and gown yet, you know, just kind of forgot. Like it was just like that kind of stuff, you know? So yeah, I'm sure we're all surprised by that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so what's,
I'm just glad it wasn't one of mine.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your low?
And low, probably, you know, just, this is the time of year too, that like we learn that like, you know, people are resigning or moving on and, you know, or retiring or something like that. And that, I don't know, just, I mean, it's a good thing, you know, especially people are retiring, you know, that they're moving into that phase of their life or whatever, but it's just always, you know, we got great people. It's always kind of sad to see them go.
Lots of goodbyes.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And goodbyes to students. And again, it's great, you know, that they get to move, that they're moving on to the next thing, but you know, it's also a little,
yeah,
a sad.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So not really any lows.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
Yeah. Just normal kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And being on the academic calendar, like, you know, in our world, it's always like every May, right?
Right.
Graduation
right.
is a good thing.
Right.
But you're also, you know, letting these people, like, you know, for me, it's, they've been a part of, and for Melissa too, for sure, they've been a big part of your life for,
right.
I mean, for you, Melissa, like 5 years possibly.
Yeah.
You start talking to them.
I feel like I work through a lot of this emotionally at the end of our season. So graduation, I try to be more happy about, but it is truly sad to watch kids leave and they're done. And I say to them every year, this is so hard for you. I do this every year. It's so hard for me. I have to do this every year. You guys rip my hearts out and leave me. You know?
Yeah. So my high sort of goes off of that. Mine is a preemptive high.
which is I'm going to Fiji in a week or so with a gel trip with Rodney Bragdon and Tim Doak and then 11 students. And I know there's going to be a high at some point during the 2 weeks. Maybe it's the whole trip. Maybe it's one day. Maybe it's a moment. But we won't record again for a while after that. So put that on the record that that's going to be my high. And a low, we had apple blossom happen in the past month. it was a lot of highs. But my low was experienced also over the course of that weekend. I'll just say what my students always say, which is I got food poisoning. or I was dehydrated. That's what the students always say when we think something else happens. So I had a little, bad couple hours Friday afternoon. But overall the weekend was good. But that was my low. Just some physical discomfort.
That's hilarious. Excellent.
Everybody go?
Yeah. Good, Scott. So proud of you. Okay, Karen, what is your Hornet hot take? You get to rant about anything you would like.
Right now, I'm sort of ranting about this whole FAFSA mess.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know? And then I learned this morning in a meeting that on top of the whole FAFSA mess, right, you know, which is just sort of, all these students and all their families just, waiting for information. And it's just, hard to make decisions and that now, if you have to adjust anything, if anything's wrong or if anything's changed, that normally you'd get to do that along the way. Now it's at the end of June. I was like, this is just not fair to students. And at the same time, the federal government is now increasing or raising interest rates on student or parent loans, apparently. So it's really? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I sort of feel like federal government, I appreciate what they're trying, the direction they're trying to go. I filled out the old version of the FAFSA last year, filled up the new version of the FAFSA this year. This one was a whole lot easier because you just essentially put in your Social Security number and off it goes. When they just learned that there were so many problems, they really should have cut bait and said, we're just going to go back to the old system.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The government was stubborn? Wait, what? How dare you?
Yeah. So, and it's just, the thing that makes me sad about it is just, families are just having a hard time.
And it's definitely hard.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure it's impacting recruiting, so.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no. It's just really hard. It's all really hard. Recruiting is always really hard and challenging, and this just added another wrinkle to it. Mm-hmm. So, the kids that'll end up here are meant to be here, and you just hope that everything goes well, despite the chaos, to get them here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So. All right. Binge and a cringe. Karen, tell us about a binge that you've been into and then something that's made you cringe recently.
Okay. So binge, ever since COVID, I need a little something at the end of the night, just to kind of, so before I go to bed. So I had never really, binge watched shows before. Now I'm sort of obsessed. And
that just started during COVID for you?
Yeah.
Wow.
You've read her bio.
That's how
that
she's
makes
been
sense.
So
exactly.
Her whole life.
You, on the other hand, have been binging shows for 20 years.
Yes, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
And binging other things. Yeah.
And so a friend of mine said, you really need to watch this show called This Is Us.
Oh,
so yeah. I started watching it and it is really good. And I'm totally obsessed with it. But my husband's like, are you watching the crying show again?
How often have you cried?
Every episode.
Not quite every episode, but pretty darn close. He's like, oh, is when are you going to give up the crying show? I'm like, well, I'm only in season 4.
I never finished it. I think I'm in 5 and I just stopped because I was crying so much.
Yeah.
I should get back to that.
I know.
Yeah.
I love a good cry. I do.
Every once in a while.
Cathartic.
It's kind of cathartic. Yeah. So.
I found out from Emily Frost, from Emily's daughter, Hannah, Emily and Hannah just started watching Modern Family. like last week, like a show that's had what 15 plus seasons.
Right. Yeah.
And like I watched it my whole 20s. They're just now getting into that.
Yeah.
And that show made me cry a couple times.
Yeah. But that one's hysterically funny.
That one's super very funny.
And there's so many episodes.
Yeah.
Like, with all these network shows. I mean, right. They'll do like 20 episodes a season.
Yeah.
Whereas
exactly.
Meanwhile, like a Netflix show can get away with six
right.
or eight episodes in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. TV. Was that a cringe? Did you cover the cringe?
We did a binge of, is us. What's your cringe?
All right, this is actually more serious, but this you'll appreciate this. So I've finished reading a book. It's called Run Like a Girl. Anyway, it's by Lauren Fleshman. She was a runner, and she just talks a lot about women's sports, right? And she's talks a lot about, you know, as a former professional runner, about the prevalence of eating disorders, and I have a personal history with that in my family and with my daughter. And there was just a part of that book that talked a lot about just the systematization of that, you know, that when Title IX came through and that they were worried, you know, when they were going to have to televise women's sports, you know, that because the performance level was going to be lower, you know, that we got to, you know, sexualize these girls and put them in like little, you know,
the
women, yeah, the women's volleyball players and like, you know,
booty shorts.
Yeah.
Is it good for a girl?
Yes.
A woman running in a man's world, Lauren Fleshman.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, that just, I'm all fired up about, like, there's a lot of stuff in there that just hit home.
I'll have to read that.
Yeah, you should.
It's very, we've talked a lot even on this podcast about women's basketball and the movement that we're living through of the elevation of the sport and access, not access to the sport, but access as a fan to viewing the sport, and how no one's mad that billions of dollars are being made, right? Like it's all good.
Right.
Yeah. This whole subject gets me so fired up. I definitely will read that book. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And we're still having to have these conversations in 2024.
Right. And there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, I mean, having a daughter that was a athlete for many years, chose not to play in college, but, you know, just some of the stuff that some of these coaches, you know, are saying to, as she's telling her story, I can just totally relate to some of the stuff. And she talks a lot just about, you know, just the performance changes that women go through as they go through puberty, you know, and that, and like in, I need, or well, I forget what percentage, but you know, there's especially in college athletes, just the number of coaches that are women, you know, are
small.
Just so much less. And like, so who's talking to these, talking to girls about like just their, you know, their bodies and the changes that are going through, you know?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, that's my cringe, but you know, in a little soapbox.
No, that's valid. That's valid. In my Fiji class, so we're talking about mental health and happiness. And in Fiji, you know, it wasn't until they got like Western television that eating disorders became a thing over there. And students were giving a presentation about disordered eating, and they cited a stat based on a study of college athletes saying, I think it was something like of women college athletes, like 80% of them have met the criteria to be diagnosed with disordered eating at some point. And
scary.
I heard it and like, you know, being a dude, my immediate response was like, what? It can't be that high. Like I was like questioning like, where'd that statistic come from? But then like all the women in our group who play sports for SU, they're like, oh yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And this is just, you know, one subsample. This at a D3 school.
Yeah.
And that's their world.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it seems like for, you know, so many women, they have to deal with that on top of all the other stuff.
Right. Well, and she talks a lot about, you know, especially being a runner, like just the, you know, you don't look fit, you know? And I remember a coach of my daughter's like, you know, pulled one of her teammates aside and just like, you know, this is what college coaches are looking for right here. You know, somebody that looks like her. Oof. You're like, well, the only person who's going to look like her
is that one.
Is her.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the fact that they can judge fitness by the way that you look.
Sure.
I was like, you can't judge fitness by, you know, the way you look, you know. And so anyway, just there's a lot of things in there that
all right.
are wrong, true.
I will add that to my extensive list. No, this is good.
Not to bring us down.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Next subject is informer. So inform us something amazing you've done at Shenandoah.
Okay.
We went through a lot in the bio.
Yeah.
Like what's something you're really proud of that.
Yeah. So when I left PT and went to the provost office the first time, I was like, okay, how am I going to keep my license up? Because I still wanted to, you know, I still have my license and so I wasn't sure how I was going to do that because I knew I couldn't go back to, you know, being in the clinic on like a lot. So I had an opportunity to volunteer at the Sinclair Health Clinic. And so I started in 2015, 2016, and I still go there.
Oh, cool.
You know, yeah. And so I've been going at least once a month. I started out twice a month and then kind of had to back off to once a month. And I take students there. And it's just a phenomenal experience. And we've got other clinicians involved, alums, and I've got, you know, some of the other faculty involved.
So
and
doing clinical work, physical therapy.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's something I'm really proud of. You know, it's hard, you know, when you're doing other things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when there's a soccer game at 4:30 and you're like, I'm supposed to be in the clinic tonight, you know. But I never regret it once I get there, you know. I'm proud of doing that.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah. And then just to see the students light up and it just makes a big impact because these are people that otherwise, you know, don't have access to some of those services. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So
right on. Well, this sort of ties into that. In the future, what sort of former do you want to be known as? So what would maybe lead your retirement announcement? Like Dr. Karen Abraham, former da-da-da-da-da, is now retiring.
Yeah. Former provost, I guess, which is kind of still weird to say, you know, a year in, it still feels a little odd. Maybe just that I was I was a person who was committed to student success, you know, like, I feel like that's the essence of what we do, whether that's, you know, them as an athlete, them as a student, you know, whether they're undergrad, grad, you know, like, I just feel like that's what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and faculty as well. I mean, obviously, but I feel like
that's part of student success.
Yeah, exactly. Supporting the faculty so that they can support students. And it's really the people part of the job that I feel like it's really valuable.
Yeah. So definitely.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Okay. Your buzzword. Okay. What is something that you try to embody here at Shenandoah? What's that catchy phrase for you? I just said catchy phrase.
Yeah.
Catchphrase. I was thinking it was catchy.
It can be catchy.
Sorry. Yeah. I feel like I melded two phrases. It's catchy phrase is actually what she's about to say.
I wish I was like a superhero. I had like, you know, I think about The Incredibles, you know, when he was like, what was his name?
Something.
I don't know.
He was like trying to get his catchphrase, the evil dude.
Was that like Infinity whatever. And Beyond?
Yeah.
That
another, no, that was a different one.
Yeah.
That was,
now we've gone way over.
Now it's Toy Story. You know,
that was Toy Story.
Buzz Lightyear.
Xander's smacking his head in shame.
I don't have a catchphrase. I'm just not that creative. I'm really not. But the word that I think that comes to mind is collaboration.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That, I mean, no one does anything here by themselves, right?
Yeah. Right. That's true.
And so, you know, and I think that that's really something that we should aspire to is to do more of that, you know, and just that's one of the things that I'm trying to bring to my current job is really reaching across divisions and departments and trying to get people to work more with each other and just realize that we all have lots to offer. And that's, I think, one of the fun things, too, is like just to look at certain people and just go, did you know that somebody in that, you know, is doing that, you know, also, and like you guys should talk.
Yeah.
You know, and
I
so,
would think from your job, your title, that you probably get to do that a lot more than the average person here who might need to be pushed towards that. But you have this perspective and this ability to maybe help that collaboration and push people together. Yeah. So that must be fun.
That is one of the fun parts, you know, is to, as you're talking to someone, like, wait a minute, like, you know, did you know that somebody in arts and sciences is working on a similar thing? And, you know, so yeah, that's been one of the fun things is to learn about those and try to encourage those collaborations. And then also just, again, in the interest of student success, you know, just realize, okay, yeah, we're in academics, but we can't, you know, there's so much more, you know, involved in student success. And so, you know, if they're not succeeding in their, you know, their sport, then it's going to bleed over, you know, into, you know, their academics or vice versa. And so, you know, just trying to reach across lines. So,
yeah, that's good.
Get people talking.
Yeah. So. And I'm going to ask you after we're done recording about a collaboration opportunity relating to my sabbatical coming up.
Ooh,
next year.
Awesome. Love it.
So I'm glad we get to.
Great.
Get to talk. All right, our last segment, Ask It Forward. Give us a question. Well, first I'll give you Amanda Levy's question.
Okay.
So this is where previous guests come up with a question to ask the next guest. And her question for you is, what's at the top of your bucket list?
I just want to travel more, especially, I mean, you said Fiji. I'm like,
yeah.
Let's go. I'm like, how do I get on that trip? Unfortunately, it's leaving next week. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I've had the opportunity, some personally, but certainly a lot here to go to some places.
Where do you want to go?
You know, just simple places that I've never been. Like, I've never been to London, you know. So I think my family, I think we're going to maybe go in December.
Hitch a ride with the marching band?
Yeah, I think we're going to go on our own. But then, you know, but that gives us an excuse to go there, you know. I want to go to Paris, you know, like there's a lot of like the places that you assume that people who've been to Uganda, Nicaragua, you know, like some of these random places that you've been to the, you know, sort of more traditional places. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just want to experience and try to take my family as much as possible.
Yeah. And now, you know, your kids are in that mode where traveling, I would imagine it's fun.
Oh yeah,
with them.
Totally. Yeah.
And you can, you know, expose them to all these other cultures.
Exactly.
To see how they react in that sort of world.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. So that's the top.
So with this question, we ask you now, what's a question you want to ask our next guest? But unfortunately, we don't know who that next guest is because we're at the end of our season.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you have recommendations for guests or recommendations for themes for our next season, or recommendations for whether we should do it or not, let us know. Email us or DM us on Instagram. But Karen, you got any sort of wide open question we could ask our next person?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I love to do is I read the Winchester Star.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
One of the few people that reads it.
I read it
every
as well.
Day.
Every day.
Love. And one of my favorite things is like the athlete spot, the student athlete spotlight. And I don't know, I love my favorite part of that is they ask them who's three people dead or alive that you'd like to have dinner with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a good question.
And there's always, it's very, always just
fascinating
what they choose.
They're high school kids. Yeah.
Right.
For the most part.
You know? Yeah. And sometimes they choose like really deep.
Sometimes they're very deep.
Yeah.
I agree
and,
with that.
You know, and then sometimes it's like George Washington. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, go. Yeah. And then it's like, sometimes it's like their best friend that they probably had dinner with last night, you know? So I don't know. I just think that it's always just kind of, it's really fascinating.
Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah. So we need to do another season just to be able to ask that question.
Yeah.
I
agree.
That might even be a good ongoing segment.
Like
we could ask everybody.
Yeah.
Three dinner guest question.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Or my second one.
Oh.
Can I have another one?
Yeah.
Okay. You can do whatever you want.
You can take over the show.
So, do you ever, I am sort of obsessed when I'm driving with listening to different podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And so one of my favorite ones is Brene Brown.
She's so good.
Yes. But she does like this rapid fire at the end of hers. And one of hers is like, it's like your playlist. that defines your life.
Yes.
Oh, you know, cool. Like pick five songs. I'm like, oh,
it's good.
I'm glad you didn't ask me that, because that would have been really hard.
That would be very hard. Yeah.
Especially like rapid fire.
Yeah. So,
but that tells something about.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So
could you give us one song off of your playlist right now? This is not rapid fire right now.
No, I know. I'm trying to think what was I listening to this morning on the way in? So, for some reason I was listening to Earth, Wind and Fire September.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That was like one that was sometimes I have like a few pump up songs like Monday morning, like it's graduation week.
Yeah.
You know, and there's several on
Scott
there.
Listened to that going to the countdown. Commonwealth lunch. He got real riled up. Be careful with that song.
It's not the most, you know, but yeah. So.
Yep. Good times.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what did I listen to? I can't remember much of that day, unfortunately. So Karen, we're in the home stretch here of the recording. Anything you want to plug? Anything coming up that you want listeners to know about? We've got graduation, of course, but I imagine they all know about
that.
Yeah. Any deadlines they should be aware of? Get your grades in.
Oh, get your grades in.
Yeah,
next week, Wednesday, I think.
It's finals week.
It's supposed to be.
So it's, what is it? Like 48 hours after
48 hours after your last exam. Yes. Do that as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that definitely is always one.
Anything else? Any Hanley soccer games you want people to come to?
Oh, yeah. So tomorrow, Hanley plays at Sharando at 7 o'clock. And then James Wood at James Wood on Friday.
All right.
So, and I won't be there because I'll be at the Conservatory Honors Recital. So, yeah, we need people there.
Yeah.
So, in town rival week. It's crazy. So,
yeah. You're on the Hanley boys with Dash and Jag playing as well.
Yeah.
Got a lot of SU children on that team.
Yep. Yep.
So, go Judges.
Yes. And hopefully, since I won't be there Friday, you won't see me acting inappropriately in advance, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
But other people should go and cheer in your place.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Appropriately.
How much do you yell at the refs?
Most games, but Millbrook,
ooh,
something, there's a lot of rivalry, a lot of tension there. Yeah. I was kind of vocal.
Getting
no, I only yelled at the ref. I only called him a nincompoop. I didn't say, you know, like bad words, you know. In my head, there was a lot of bad words, but they didn't come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So.
Is nincompoop your go-to?
No, my husband was saying it and I was like, okay, that's better than the words that I'm thinking.
Oh my goodness. That's really funny.
So, because the words we wanted to use, you know. Yeah.
I've long stated that I would be a much better fan of Shenandoah if I did not work here, because I would get real riled up. But I try to act professionally when I am attending Shenandoah athletics events.
Yeah.
I sit there with my hands folded like a good coach. I want to yell.
Yeah.
Our sponsor of the day is Vector Solutions Training, because you've still not completed this yet.
How do you know?
Just because I was looking at you, Karen, you do seem very defensive about your Vector Solutions Training. I will say this. I asked a couple of coaches if they finished theirs, and they said, I never do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're a tough guy. Anyway, our email, buzzwords@su.edu. Our website is subuzzwords.podbean.com. Our next guest, ? Our theme, we don't know, ? Send us ideas for guests and themes. Emily Hollins, help us.
Yes, good friend of the pod.
Yeah, but anything you want to send us, we'll check the email once this summer.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
But we've got to come up with something great for next year, because we keep upping the ante. Right, Scott?
We try. We do try.
We try real hard. Harder than Joey tried teaching.
All right. With that,
keep on buzzing.
Keep on buzzing.
Hey.
Yay.
Oh, the applause. Keep on going.
It just keeps going.